Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us This Week in America, coast to coast, and of course online, thisweekinamerica.us. Legacy is a story of mankind's sojourns through history. It describes one man's incredible journey through several lifetimes, as far back as a million years. His blunders, his triumphs, and the many worlds and places where these experiences took place. 5 episodes of million-year-old romance, space battles, intrigue, interdimensional scientific and spiritual principles of life, today's false religious beliefs, and other secrets exposed in detail. Described as a must-read for every truth-seeker, a novel 30 years in the making, the Legacy series author is Robert Maxim. As a child, Robert experienced several sleep-time visits to other worlds and witnessed countless alien craft. These experiences continue to date in both wake and sleep states. Robert has spent over 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of life. He works in the field of information technology. Back with us, one of our favorite guests, Robert Maxim, author of the critically acclaimed Legacy series. Robert, welcome back to the program. Great to have you back with us.
And thank you for having me on your show.
It is always fun, always great information. And the background on Legacy, we were chatting just before we got started here. Legacy is now available in Spanish. Tell me about that. That's exciting.
Yeah, we actually spent 9 months translating it. It was a international effort. Folks from the U.S., from Spain, from Mexico, from Argentina, we all came together to actually translate it. So it's published. It's out now. The link is on my website, and it's called Legado. Legado, which is a translation of legacy. So Legado is out there, the first episode. We're beginning work on number 2.
That is fantastic, and you'll find that at Robert's website. That's rgaetan, rgaetan.com. You can link on, of course, by going to thisweekinamerica.us and get all of that information. Exciting news. More exciting news. We'll touch on it briefly, get into questions from the viewers, the listeners, and then we'll intersperse throughout the program talking about it. Just back from Las Vegas, playing like what there were like 3-4 days having conferences and answering people's questions. You are the go-to man to get this information. The weekend was a tremendous success, obviously.
Yes, it was a filled stadium, tons of questions. I was on my feet for about 8 hours straight each time. Very good responses, very good information given. It's interesting. People are really getting down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to what they have been taught over time, the world, an understanding of the world that surrounds them, and the world that lives inside them. So they say knowledge is power. And yes. At least this is a power that people need to have. They need to have this understanding. So people were delighted to be awakened to this knowledge.
And you're going to spread that knowledge during the course of the program once again today. And we've got listener questions. If you have questions you would like to submit to Robert, you can do so at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Got the comment section. Just do it there. Or you can do the same at Robert's website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com. Question number 1. On the last interview, did I hear correctly that you said that some aliens actually live here now?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Some of those aliens are, shall we say, good, and some not so much. There are aliens that are walking among us, hidden in plain sight, actually. And since most of them look so much like us, I can't tell the difference. But others do live and work with the government. And others live on the ground and out of sight. There's a lot of alien activity that most people don't realize.
Do they have a mission while they're here?
Yes, many come to learn from us. Others come to interfere with us. But yet there are others that come to help and try to evolve us in a progressive and positive way. So there's a combination of everything.
You mentioned the government, and I'm thinking, is that knowingly, does the government knowingly have these people working for them? Are they, in fact, working for the government?
Yes, not at all levels, but the higher up you go, the more you know.
Now, you've been involved with the government, so you know inside what goes on. Does that concern you? Are you concerned about that? I'm going to call it infiltration. That may be a little overly dramatic, but are you concerned?
Not really. We as spiritually evolving beings are here temporary, and a little in the near term is that these or with and die and they come back to reincarnate. They're going to have to do some time here in our planet, receive the other end of what they.
Yes. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, author of the Legacy series, now Legacy One, available in Spanish. Information at his website, rgaetan, GAETAN.com. And of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Question from a listener. This is pretty basic, and I think it's probably a good time to go back and talk about this, which we did in one of the first programs we did several years ago. Explain energy and the impact it has on us.
Boy, that's a big question.
I don't even know where you start, but they didn't ask me, they asked
I
you, so it's your problem to figure that one out.
electricity or nuclear power, gasoline, really energy, we could say, is the purpose, the knowledge, the intelligence, the force of creation. So we could have, I could have an object, for example, I could have an object here, and the fact that it falls, that is energy, right? It has changed states. But let's consider that this item itself is made from atoms, and those atoms have energy. What is that energy? Where does that energy come from? We know, and I'm about to publish another book to show some mathematics on this. If an electron, if we calculate the amount of time that an electron can actually hold energy, it's less than a microsecond. It's like that fast. It's out of power. How can the electron continue having power? Where does that energy come from? And where does the intelligence that tells that electron what to be and how to move, how to combine? How do protons know that X number of protons and electrons creates this type of atom? How does that atom know that when it combines with this other specific atom, it makes this molecule? And how do these molecules know to form in these specific repeatable convergent arrays that makes amino acids, that makes proteins, that makes cells, that makes bodies, that makes planets, makes solar system, makes galaxies, makes universes? It's kind of like a blueprint from the beginning. This energy that is in our dimension, in our atoms, it doesn't just materialize to make the atom that we know, but it's a recombinant formula that's already programmed to combine with other atoms. The intelligence that comes to that atom is interdimensional. And as you will see in this new book that I will publish in a couple of months, it fully explains how fourth dimensional energy comes to this world. And it goes back, comes to this world, and it goes back. And there are several scientists that have already, through string theory, proposed that this is actually true. We have string theory, for example, M string, and other string theories that are beginning to prove the possibility that there's no such thing as a solid, and everything is some sort of intelligent energy that appears here. And it's already pre-programmed. Now, think about this. How can you have pre-programmed energy so intelligent that it knows exactly how to combine at all these levels?
Yes.
Well, if you let's say, Rick, that I asked you to design a car and you're not an engineer. It'd be difficult to do it. But if you were an automotive engineer, you knew the type of tires, the type of engine, the type of pistons, you know, the angle of explosion, how many you need to have, how many horsepowers, the type of fuel, the type of metal for the engine, the shock absorbers, the body, the paint, the seats, the radio, you know, the integration of sound, the lights, you know, all of that stuff, air conditioning, all of those things put together, those are all integrated levels that that vehicle at any moment could execute. And you push a button, you have air conditioner. You push a button, you start the car. You push a button, you have the radio. You turn the dial, you get a different station. Atoms are no different. They're pre-programmed packages. And think of energy in the same way. The energy comes already manufactured so that these things appear. So, I know I'm giving you, it's a very long explanation. I'm actually trying to make it short. But what I'm coming to is the energy in the atoms that we see are the end result of a mastermind intelligence that has designed this universe, has designed these atoms, that, of course, scale it all the way up to the creator, to the fountainhead, whence all of this comes from. So, as you can see, convergence in creation is designed. It, and the purpose of it is to create this base of life so that we can grow, we can progress, and we can evolve, get to understand that energy. Once we understand the energy and we see where it's coming from, we realize, aha, that's where we're supposed to go. We're supposed to go up this ladder, up this fountainhead, follow the energy trail, evolve with it, let it take you. And so now we're getting into the purpose of life. So what impact does energy have on us? It not only gives us life, but it gives us a pathway to go towards the source that created that energy. Kind of like moth are attracted to light, we as evolutionary beings must be attracted to the fountainhead, to the creator, where this energy comes from. I hope that helps.
I am looking forward to the book. You say that should be out in a couple of months?
Couple of months.
That will be fascinating reading, because that really is the foundation of what many of the programs we've had in the air, isn't it? The energy, that's the basis.
That is correct.
Well, it'll be fascinating to, we'll keep you posted as to when the book comes out. Robert is coming to us via Skype, and I mentioned that if it glitches for a few seconds, that's why we do it on Skype, so we do a video version. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll see a video tab there. You just click on that, watch the program. You can go to YouTube, Google it, go to YouTube and watch Robert on This Week in America and see the full program. Audio available as well, and I think this is legacy number 43 that we've talked about, so a whole vast library with great information that you'll find by going to our website. Next question comes from a listener who asked, did another advanced species exist on Earth before humans?
Oh, wow. Answer is yes, resounding yes. As a matter of fact, some still do, and you're talking to one.
Okay. Explain that now. Okay, you've got my attention.
We are the result of many civilizations that came to populate this world, not just the physical bodies of these other species, but also their souls. So we have to understand that this planet is nothing but a school. So there are souls coming to this planet at all times to complete their evolutionary missions. So not only are these bodies from the stars, but so are our souls. Now, we have to consider one thing. Many of us have heard through Northern American folklore the mention of ant people. Now, interestingly, that's no fantasy. Actually, ant people are actual Earth natives. They are from here. They evolved here. And they are millions of years old. There are other races that were brought here, as I mentioned. And others, you know, came and went. Some colonized, some left. Then there was intermixing. We're basically also the result of Homo habilis, DNA upgrades, and alien intermingling. So, yes, many of our predecessor species, like Homo habilis, they were altered DNA-wise. And those eventually, through other intermingling, became the people that we are today. After that, through the different Lemurian, Atlantis cycles, Egyptian cycles, there have been teachers and beings from other worlds that came to us to further upgrade the human being. And it's a very long subject to discuss, but just to know that who we are today is the result of many, shall we say, starry interactions.
Interesting. So the short answer to the question is yes. And the long answer is, I can imagine visiting your website and you'll get a lot of information there. The thing about Robert's website, rgaetan.com, and if you can't remember that, you can link on directly from our website, thisweekinamerica.us. There's a lot of science there. That's really a science-loaded website, isn't it? Well, you don't just say something unless you're able to back it up, because you, in fact, are a scientist. So I'm sure that skepticism is there in everything you read, everything you hear, everything you learn. You want to make sure that it's backed up by something.
And if you read Legacy, I have all of the references there. I have references on research on why MRCA, most recent common ancestor genes from mitochondria, measurements of the mitochondria, the generations back to the destruction of Lemuria, back to the great bottleneck, which affects not only human beings at about 75,000 BC, but would you believe also animals? Animals, their genes also have a bottleneck at the same time. And the YMRCA dates back to about 260,000 BC, when the first appearance of what we know today as Homo sapiens appeared. So, yeah, there's a lot to consider scientifically that proves that we have been around for a lot longer than science makes a claim of. And you also see a lot of population studies that go up in time, they drop in time, they come back up in time, and the intermixing of races, this thing that life came out of Africa, no foundation.
That's you got to visit the website. That's a go-to website for all of this information that we're talking about. Next question, again, we're talking about civilization. This time, the listener asks, what is the possibility of civilization on Mars? Possible?
We have sent ships there. We have not sent people. However, there are people there on the ground. Absolutely. On my website, I do show pictures taken by the NASA rovers of actual buildings and facilities on the surface, not just on the ground, on the surface. It also shows pipes. It shows animals. It shows water. It shows trees on the surface. So there's a lot there to see.
And you can follow some of that on the website. It's just it's amazing information there. How long have you been doing the website? There's a wealth of information there.
Oh, gosh. I started putting together the website. So we say maybe for the last 10 years, perhaps? About 10 years worth of work.
Yeah, I apologize for that, sinuses or something, and it's choking me up getting all this great information on the program. If you have a question for Robert, very simple, go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, or go to Robert's website, rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N.com. Another question while I gather myself here. Do you think it's possible that someday technologically advanced Martians might attack the Earth as was portrayed in H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. And that word attack sort of jumps out as I'm reading that question. Is that possible, and should we be fearful?
That will never happen. Now, while on the subject, I'll try to explain why people are afraid of that. It's because it was us that attacked Mars a long, long time ago. It's not the other way around. We attacked. And look what we did to that planet. It's interesting to note, Rick, that what we fear is going to be done to us is precisely what we've done to others. So there should be no fear that Martians are going to attack this world. Actually, we should fear that we will attack them again.
I'm letting that sink in a second as you're saying that. That's sort of alarming, but we have not necessarily been passive in all of this.
No. If you go to my website and you look at the video for episode 4, you will see precisely what happened. I made a short movie of it. You're welcome to go take a look.
That's why the website is a vast resource of information. A question: is alien life that occurs outside of Earth resemble us in any way? And that's interesting. I guess you think about that when we talk about the people on Mars, life on Mars. Is it close to what we do here? They go to work every day. They got cars. They go on vacations. They go to Las Vegas to gamble and to listen to seminars, that type of thing. Is it similar to what we do here?
Well, yes. On Mars, we are descendants of them. So we look identical. Perhaps, from what I have seen, their beauty and their perfection is much higher than ours. Their intelligence, it's through the roof. Their love of God is incredible. So, yes, there are many races out in the universe that do resemble us. Eyes, ears, faces, arms, hands. A few changes, but, also some are not like us. Infinity expresses itself in an infinite number of ways and possibilities. Matter of fact, there are beings, it could be called insectoids. Mm-hmm. There are plantoids, plants. There are reptilians. Everybody has heard of the reptilians.
Oh, yes.
Very true. There are aquatics. Yes, people have heard of them too. And there are other beings that were engineered, actually. We were actually engineered from the start. But some of these other engineered beings, they bear no resemblance or trace to Earth species. And energy, dimensional beings, require no physical body. How about that? Imagine being in a higher dimension where there is no physical body, and it's just a being made out of pure energy. Now, I've got to bring something out, because everyone has heard about the Greys. The Greys are going to get you, they're going to tear you apart, they're going to experiment on you, and they're wicked, and they're bad,
yes.
And, they paralyze you, and then they take you, and they do surgeries. Well, the Grey... And there are a lot of different civilizations that have them. Now, what's interesting is that there are many civilizations that have the same type. Okay, I'll give you an example. I don't want to mix politics, but I'll give this example. Let's say you have a blender made in China, and then China sells it to Europe, to South America, to the United States, to Russia, Africa. And you go to these countries and you find the same blender. but it belongs to the country, right? So there's one place that makes this blender, and all these people, all these countries have this blender. The same thing happens with grace. So grace are manufactured basically by few or just very few civilizations, but yet they share them or they give them to other civilizations. So there is the good old Zeta Reticuli grace. And everybody thinks, oh, the grace comes from Zeta Reticuli. But if you look at reports, sighting reports of Abunians or Alpha Centaurians, you find the same gray being used by Alpha Centaurians. So what does that tell you? Two civilizations, the same model.
Yes. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. The website for Robert is rgaetan, rgaetan.com. You can get there by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When you get there, you won't want to leave anytime soon because it's jam-packed with great information and answer a lot of your questions and probably bring up even more questions when you spend some time there. Next question, when someone dies, do they go through a life review, a judgment, before their future is determined?
I want to say yes, but I have to qualify it. Yes, but you are your own judge in that moment, and you are your own jury, and you are trying you. You're comparing yourself against what was your original reincarnation mission, where you actually succeeded, where you failed, and the lessons that you draw at that moment from your performance. You're giving yourself a performance evaluation. That's what it is. Okay. You're giving yourself your own performance evaluation. Now, wouldn't you like to go to school and grade your own test?
Yes.
Well, that's what you do. It's not a judgment. It's a performance evaluation. Plus, something we have to remember is your mind is never going to go to a place that you do not understand or are not used to. So you determine where you're going to go, when you're going to go, and what you're going to be doing. And you learn this and work this out in between lives where you prepare for the next incarnation. And there are a lot of people that say, well, I want to go to heaven. Well, I read to them, what from the Bible and other writings, this is what you're going to do in heaven. But this is what you are not going to do in heaven. Are you going to be happy there forever, or are you going to be wanting to get out of there as soon as possible? So it's not about going to heaven and walking over golden streets and having apples for breakfast. No. What you do in between lives is what we call heaven. And it's basically a preparatory school where you evaluate yourself and you get a gap analysis of yourself. This is what I missed. This is what I got to pick up. You make a life plan that is workable, doable, and you commit to doing it. Then you come back, and that's what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to pick up music because you need some music in your spirit, or you're going to pick up science or philosophy or devotion, and you're going to work at that. Plus, you're going to work on your own self. How are you going to be a better soul, a better person, become more humble, and follow that fountainhead? How are you going to find that fountainhead? You see? Yes. So the training that happens in between lives is giving you hints, is preparing you to eventually say, aha, that's how I go to a fountainhead. That's how I follow it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen to my lower nature and all of the different wants and mundanity down here. No, I'm going to follow that because I love that. That I want to do. That's the type of heaven I want to have.
So when we're taught there is a judgment day and heaven is our final destination, neither of those are true.
Neither are true. They're misrepresentations. Let me rephrase that. They are mistranslations. They are not literal, but they are addressed in a folklore of a time long ago when it meant something totally different. A judgment is an evaluation. And everything that is going to supposedly transpires when you are judged in a judgment day, it's not hell, fire, and damnation. No. If you read carefully, it says the books are going to be opened and you're going to evaluate what's in the books. There you go. There are going to be beings there. They're going to be helping you read this book and you're going to find out where you were. Now, at that point, you make up your mind. Do you want to continue or do you not want to continue with a mission plan? You're not forced. It's entirely up to you.
Boy, that's so much information there. And you said something, I'm going to throw my own question in here, about translations. And we've talked about this before. How many different translations of the Bible?
Wow.
You've rolled your eyes, because I know there's not probably a definitive answer to this, but how, approximately how many translations out there? Because each one, people believe and follow that particular translation, thinking this is the word, and someone else follows a different translation thinking they're following the word. Are we talking tens, hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands?
Hundreds. And then multiply that by at least 200 times each.
Wow.
Because every version has language translations. And when you go from one version to, say, from English to Spanish, you're changing it. When you go from English to Greek, you're changing it. When you're going from English to Russian, you're changing it. It's not the same thing. And besides, Hebrew cannot be translated.
Okay, that's interesting. There's so many times here, I haven't dozed off as you're talking. I'm absorbing what you're saying and then realize I'm the one that has to ask the next question. So I can't be taking notes necessarily throughout all of this. But it's interesting, and as you read, not only the number of translations, but different people as they were translating had different goals in mind, didn't they? There was a particular reason sometimes to get their followers, to tell them what they want to hear, to promote your own particular religion or whatever. Mm-hmm. Translations are not necessarily unbiased, are they?
Well, I'll give you St. Jerome Scala IV, which is basically an admission by St. Jerome. He was reached by Rufinus, and he was asked to translate Origen's De Principis. So it says, for better or for worse, whatever comes out, I don't care if it's appropriate or not appropriate. So Jerome said, okay, translates it, gives it to Rufinus. Rufinus starts reading it, and he's shocked. Nothing to do with what the church was teaching and what the church had translated from De Principis. So what does Rufinus do? Shoves it in the drawer, locks it up, and it's found hundreds of years later.
It's just, we could do hours just talking about that, but let's get back to the questions. People tune in to listen to the questions that they submitted. So I had to go off on that, because whenever I hear translations, just from the knowledge of the 40-some shows that we've done together, that there's not necessarily one master manuscript that everybody has followed over the years. There are literally, as you mentioned, hundreds of thousands of those and probably more. How frequently do your visits occur, and can you initiate them?
Well, it's anywhere from seconds to days.
Okay.
It all depends on inner guidance. I don't ask. I don't set up for visits. They come to me by virtue of my higher self, the Father within, as Jesus called it, because also, as Jesus said, of myself, I do nothing. There are a lot of people that try to put themselves in specific meditation positions, and then they think they're going here, they're going there. That might be the case, but I think that that's selfish. I'm not here to be making spiritual house calls like that.
Yes.
I'm here to understand myself, overcome myself, and not be leaving, shall we say, the scene of the crime.
Okay.
I've got enough to do on myself to conquer myself and to be taking these willful flights that are not authorized by the higher self. And not only gets you into trouble.
This Week in America is the program you're listening to. Our guest is Robert Maxim, longtime guest. We're on program number 43 and talking about his Legacy series. Started off talking about the Legacy series going to be one show. It's evolved into an ongoing sort of a monthly communication between the two of us that we share with you, and it's driven now by your questions, and you can submit those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, comment section. You go to Robert's website, rgaetan, GAETAN.com, and submit questions there as well. When you go on a visit, the next question ties into that. Are you expected to spread the word like a disciple or a messenger?
Oh boy. No. I only share what I've learned and show people how to live through my own example. I never go to people and say, well, this you have to listen to this message. I am a disciple, I am a messenger. No. On the contrary, I hope that people change by what they see in me and what they hear from me, through the love that I have for them, not by any other means. Of that, I have been instructed very carefully, that I am not to interfere with anyone, convert anyone. I'm not to be a teacher. I'm not to be a leader. I'm not to do, not to have followers. That's very important. I have to be completely detached from everyone. Sharing, absolutely. We're all supposed to share what we've learned. But to do it, to, shall we say, gather people unto myself, absolutely not.
So when
Can't
you
do that.
speak as you just did in Las Vegas and will do in Spain and other places, you're there to share, and if I understand what you're saying, it's equally important, besides the knowledge that you are sharing, how you go about conducting yourself during the course of that. That's as important as the message.
Exactly. With every word that I mention, I have to make sure that people are living the message and they're not thinking of me as someone that is superior to them or a teacher or a messenger. As a matter of fact, during my presentations, I constantly remind people, please don't do that. Don't fool yourselves. Don't. I am not who you think I am. I am no different than you are.
And how difficult is that? We've talked before about ego and how detrimental ego is when you're there and you have all of these people that are just waiting on each word to implement what you say in their lives. It's got to be difficult to keep in mind why you're there, and it's not for you to create your own little cult out of this group.
Exactly. It is difficult to convince people, not to think that way, because
Yes.
it's irresponsible of them. Because what they want to do is they want to feed off of you to save them, so they don't have to do anything. It's like a kid in school. He would love to have that his teacher live in his house so that the teacher can do the homework for him and constantly be giving him answers
Yes.
instead of the student reading the book. So, we cannot have the, if we do, this is very important. I've got to mention this. I need a few minutes. What we must do is we must all learn to get our life, to get our answers directly from the fountainhead, not really from anyone else. So what I try to do is I try to share with people how what I have learned that shows me how to connect to the fountainhead so that they can do the same thing. And I answer questions, of course. If I am asked something, I will answer it. But I will not force it unless I'm asked. If I were not to do that, and I were to, should we say, preach or talk or convince other people so they follow me, those people are no longer going to be pointing up towards the fountainhead, towards the Creator, to get their lives from it.
Yes.
They're going to get it from you. So they're going to be like parasites. This parasitical environment is very dangerous, because now you feel their weight. You're feeding their lives instead of God. You have become their God. So what happens when you die, or when they die, or when you come and they're dead? They feed off of you. They become anchor points. In some religious groups, we call the act of breaking up those leeches, those spiritual leeches, we call it exorcism. We call those forces demons. We call them obsessions. So sometimes you look at people who are obsessed like this and you wonder, what did they do? That's the first thing I think is, what did they do to have all of those leeches applied? They must have been very selfish to get people unto themselves. And you know, these people that get up on podiums and they preach to try to win souls, the only thing on their heart is selfishness. I'm sorry to say. They want the numbers, but they want to be the ones getting the numbers. It's not really as holy as it seems. But you know what's going to happen when they die, when they come back? Well, you just heard. Anyone that gets on the podium and tries to convince people, and they try to use their own weight to get them to listen to them and to appreciate their power of lips, their power of words, they have no idea what they're doing. And people who follow them, they are becoming those leeches that are now going to be obsessions. It's such a horrible thing.
Boy, there's another topic we could do a
whole
program.
It is so horrible.
Yes, and you see that more and more, and obviously a great responsibility when you take the message out to share with so many people. We've got time for a few more questions, then we'll talk about some of the missions you've got coming up, including a trip to Spain, and you'll have the Legacy Spanish version available as you go over there. This one, very simple. What other worlds have you lived in?
Oh, my head was not on set up for that question, but I was thinking of this other thing now. But I can recall a couple, like Mars, for example, Alpha Centauri, the Sagittarius, Carina.
Yeah, just there we go. We're back. One of those evil glitches that I was talking about, but you have been in other worlds. Are they vivid memories of life there? Were there lives there, or were they visits there?
Both. Okay. Very vivid. Mars is probably the most outstanding. Alpha Centauri, that was extremely vivid. Sagittarius, Carina, Cassiopeia, extremely vivid.
Robert Maxim with us. Got time. Let's do one more question here, and then we'll go through and tell you how you can get in contact, because we want to take your question the next time. Do our personality traits follow us from life to life?
Excellent question. And the answer is yes.
Yes.
It's what we are. Every act, every word, every thought, every mannerism, the likes and the dislikes, we are all of our past lives rolled into this one. That's what we are. So imagine everything you ever thought for millions of years, everything you ever wished, everything you ever liked, it's here right now, and it's you.
I'm going to tie that into the next question. I said that was going to be the last one, but this really is the next logical step. Shouldn't take too long. Is our new life a totally clean slate? And no. I think you're saying no, there is carryover.
It's the accumulation of past expressions. And remember, no child is born with an empty mind. And I can attest to it because I remember when I was a baby, and I remember the memories that I had and the visions that I had. So now, absolutely not. It's not a clean slate. There's something there. So if you have a child, don't treat the child as a clean slate. That is a very intelligent being, and you should treat him like an adult.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, just finished up a very successful several days in Las Vegas answering people's questions. And you were mentioning before, and people came in with notebooks full of questions. They're thirsty. They're hungry for the knowledge that you have. Off to Spain. What are the dates? And I know all this is at the website, but how long will you be in Spain?
Well, I'll be traveling for 4 days, two there and two back, and I'll have two or three days in between. The conference will be in Valencia, Spain, on the 23rd. That's going to be another 8 hours on my feet again in Spanish. So that should be interesting. Castilian, of all things. So I hope I am professionally correct in my use of Spanish. Sometimes I wonder, what in the world am I going to say? Am I going to say it right?
I'm sure there will not be a problem with that. And great timing, because Legacy One is now out in the Spanish version. And information on that at Robert's website, rgaetan.com. Back in Las Vegas, any other trips coming up?
Well, there's a trip planned for Peru, another one for Argentina, and there's a possibility of Chile. So those are all lined up right now. There's definitely more trips to LA and Vegas on the horizon. When I return from Spain, there's a Miami interview that I will do. So I'll basically be getting off the plane at 7 p.m., rushing to a meeting that will last until 11 o'clock, rush back to the airport, and head back. So it's
done. That is absolutely amazing. I cannot keep up with the schedule. I don't have to. You do. So I hope that you have a good travel planner that keeps you on the right, going to the right gate, getting on the right plane, getting to the right city, and sharing your information. It is always a pleasure. Really went by quickly tonight. We've got some questions left over for the next time. We encourage your questions. You can go to thisweekinamerica.us comment section and fire off. Just put for Robert, and we will, if it's a question I can't answer, which is most of them, I'll give it to Robert. And you can go to his website, rgaetan.com, and do the same. Robert, safe travels. Thank you so much, my friend, for being with us on the program, and we will talk very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and also thanks to the listeners who are supportive and asking these questions, doing my best to be of service.
Yeah, and your best is touching a lot of people in a positive way, and keep those questions coming. Very simple to do. Just check us out at the website, give us your comments, and we will talk about those hopefully on the next program. You're listening to This Week in America, and of course you'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.